What's up, everyone? Welcome to David and Joe's Football Power Hour podcast, our first episode. We're really excited to be bringing this to you. I'm Joe, and I'm very excited to be doing this podcast. Me and David have been friends for a while, always talking football, and that's basically what this podcast is going to be, is just us having a normal conversation about what we are expecting to happen as the football season unfolds. As you know, here in March, it is our first couple weeks of the off season. We just had the football NFL Combine yesterday for quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs. Today's the last day of it, so we'll be talking about that kind of stuff. But we're also big Eagles fans, so we'll be talking about some Birds stuff as well on these episodes, and we're going to try to do this every week if we can. We'll see where it goes. David.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Yeah, really excited to talk about this. Like you said, I mean, we're going to have these conversations anyway. And in March, football is really, more and more, I feel like it's a year-long season. We're in the first week of March, and we're seeing so many headlines about stuff that happened at the combine and not even sniffing the real off-season training camps yet. So it'll only go up for here, but draft season is probably my favorite season because I absolutely love the NFL draft and just all of the different things that go into it. It's an event in itself. So, yeah, really excited to talk about this and interested to hear your takes on what you're seeing with the first couple picks of the draft here.
So how we're going to start off today's episode is each of us are going to do our top five picks for the NFL draft. So it'll be picks 1 through 5, and then moving forward, then we'll do 6 through 10, and so on and so forth. But it's just going to be back and forth, rapid fire. I'm going to, give my first pick. David will give his first pick, and we'll go on from there. A lot of this has been thought of before the combine, and then I kind of changed a little bit up after seeing and hearing about what has happened over the weekend.
Sure.
So I'm going to dive in, and my first pick, I don't know if this is, the player, yes, obviously is going to be, you're expecting to hear it. But the team is not who you think. So I'm expecting a trade here. I think the Chicago Bears are going to move back a couple spots and get some capital for next year. And they're going to hold on to Justin Fields. So they're not going to take a quarterback here. And I think it's the right move for them. So number one is going to be the New England Patriots. I know there's been a lot of talk with, grabbing a quarterback, whether it be Jaden Daniels or Drake May, or even free agents like Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield. But I think Caleb Williams is going to go number one, and it's going to be to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it's definitely a really interesting take, because my number one is Caleb Williams, but staying with the Chicago Bears. And, since you go first, I don't want to completely talk over that take that I never would have thought would probably occur. But, you want to give some more reason as to why they might pass on one of the best prospects that we've seen in years?
I don't think it necessarily has to do with that aspect of it. I personally think that they have too much invested in Justin Fields. Obviously, I know he's on a rookie contract. Monetarily, it doesn't really matter, but I feel like he is the guy that they want to give that chance to. They've increased their win percentage every season under him, regardless of making the playoffs or not, which they haven't yet. But they're winning more games every season. It seems like they're winning more competitive games, or they're in more competitive games. And obviously, that would increase with Caleb Williams. However, I think there's a rapport that's being created there with Justin Fields and DJ Moore, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet. I think adding another piece later on in the draft, in this case, only two picks later, I think will be beneficial for them. And for New England, I think this is a no-brainer. They have a new head coach. They want a new regime there, even though, Jaron Mayo's been there for, I mean, he played there. He's been a coach there for a while. But I do think a new head coach, a new quarterback makes sense for them. And why not take a chance with the generational talent that, is Caleb Williams?
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I mean, I think the trade is definitely a shocker. But yeah, that's really something that, someone is really trying to put their name out there, especially in New England. If you're trading up, historically the trade up is very risky because of, first of all, the quarterback not only having to perform under the number one expectations, but also having the added fact that they had draft capital given for them to move up, even if it is two spots. I mean, obviously you think of Mitchell Trubisky, but there's definitely better examples out there. But no, I definitely, I'm just glad that Caleb for you is number one. I think that would have thrown everything off if he was not, because
No,
he's got to be.
there's no way I can see him not going number one. It's the most surefire first overall pick that we've seen, really, I think, since, I don't even know, like Joe Burrow, maybe. I mean, there was still some talk about maybe him not being first, but I just don't see a world where Caleb Williams is not the first pick. He's definitely talented enough to be the number one pick. So that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, and I'll take the reasoning of, why I think he does just go to the Bears. I mean, obviously the Bears have had a couple years where they're kind of, you don't really know exactly what they are, and I think for any person that's an NFL GM, you kind of want this to fall into your lap. I mean, they're kind of playing with house money a little bit here. They already have the number nine pick. This isn't as big of a risk as it is for most teams with the number one pick. You're taking a generational prospect and having him on a rookie deal, getting a complete another try at this. Another reason why I just think Justin Fields, I mean, you got to decide they're getting rid of the entire idea if they need to pay him or not, which I think is a big deal that. Not only if you trade that pick and you keep Fields or pick a player that is not Caleb Williams, he is also playing with the pressure of the fact that they passed it on him, which of course would make him feel better in the moment. But playing with that pressure on a contract year, and if he does not turn out, then I think multiple people are probably not getting paid and looking for new jobs. I do like the obvious trade that's been linked with him with Atlanta. I think that does make sense. I think he would be more comfortable there. I also do like the Steelers discussions as well. I think both those teams definitely get better if you get Fields. And don't get me wrong, I think Fields is good. I think he is. I just don't think his ceiling is as good as Caleb, which some people are, they're debating about if they're very close to the same player. But I think just monetarily, it just makes sense for them to go Caleb Williams and see what they can get with him. And if they already have the pick, you might as well take it.
And there's always that discussion about, whether or not once you get to your fourth, fifth season, do you give them that contract or just draft another quarterback and move on from them? And that could very well be in play for the Bears if they do stand pat and take Caleb Williams. You could, I'm sure that they would move Justin Fields, but you could hold on to him, kind of have a quarterback competition in camp and then go from there. Maybe he becomes a free agent. I'm sure they're going to want to get something from him, something out of him, but you never know. But that'll lead me into number two, the Commanders. Now, this is an interesting one. They could go a bunch of different ways. There's new ownership, new head coach. Are they going to bring in a new quarterback? Are they going to keep Sam Howell for another year? Could they go wide receiver, add another weapon out there? But I do think that they are going to get a quarterback, and I think it makes the most sense for Dan Quinn to start fresh with a new quarterback and try not to, because he's a defensive guy. I don't think he wants to take that time to try to teach the current quarterback a new system when you can just bring in a new quarterback completely. And that's going to be North Carolina's Drake May at number two.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it is a toss up more and more with Daniels in May for the number two quarterback coming off the board, definitely. I have Washington pretty much for exactly the same reasons that you said. You know, new ownership, you want fans something to cheer for, have some sort of direction of any kind, and just get some high spirits going. I mean, their quarterback situation for the past few years has been interesting at best. I mean, obviously Carson Wentz going in there, that was great. Sam Howell, I actually think out of all the quarterbacks that people say are bad, he's probably my favorite. I think he always gives some weird chance to win, but that's not going to be good enough for the league. And I think they have an opportunity. I mean, everybody says that the NFC is a lot weaker than the AFC. So if you get an elite quarterback, I mean, you're kind of in it, especially with the fact that they have the most cap space out of any team this year. But
yeah,
with that, I am taking Jaden Daniels with the number two pick. I
okay.
think that he's an exciting player. I think he just fits the idea of what they want to do more. I mean, no matter what, he's going to go out there and he's going to be extremely exciting. And,
right.
I do have concerns about him denying the weigh-ins at the combine. I
yeah.
think that he's probably under 200. He's got to be if he's denying the weigh-ins. But I mean, he's got the height. So I mean, you always get concerned about the idea that when you put on more weight, you have more athleticism taken away. So, I mean, that's going to be always something that you got to look at. But I mean, I think Jaden Daniels makes sense at number two for Washington.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, I do think it is a toss up between the two of them, who will be the second quarterback off the board. And, you know, you do make a lot of great points with why Jaden Daniels over Drake May in that spot. I just feel like with the way Cliff Kingsbury, his offenses have run, I think Drake May's style is a little bit more similar to that of, you know, Caleb Williams at USC and Kyler at in Arizona. Not to say that Jaden Daniels doesn't do the same things that those quarterbacks do, but I think that May fits that a little bit more. And I think that because they're under new ownership and it's not necessarily football minds, they do have football minds there. It wouldn't shock me if they took a guy that they think would fit more than best available, because I do think Jaden Daniels is a little bit better in terms of athleticism and longevity. I think he could play longer if he stays healthy and is in the right system. But, you know, either one of them could fit in Washington, I think. And like you said about Sam Howell too, I mean, I don't think his career is done. If they take a quarterback, he could easily, you know, be the backup at least now. If one of them gets hurt, or they could look to move him somewhere else to a team that needs a quarterback. I do think that he is in the middle of the pack in the NFL. He's definitely not a great quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but much better than a lot of these quarterbacks that we saw play this past season.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're too different, because you know, it invites this discussion. But who do you have for number three for Chicago that you traded back for?
Yes, so in the past couple of weeks, I've been hearing some rumblings about DJ Moore really wanting to play with Marvin Harrison Jr., and I think that that makes them much stronger offensively. Because nothing against Darnell Mooney, but I think he's more suited to be the third guy on a team than to be a second or a first. I mean, he could be a second or a first on a really, really bad wide receiver group. But I think if you add Marvin Harrison Jr. to that wide receiver group, along with Cole Kmet at tight end, you're looking at one of the best pass-catching offenses in the NFL. With a quarterback that already knows the offense. So I think it makes sense for the Bears to move back and take Marvin Harrison Jr. at number three.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it really makes sense for him to go that high. Obviously, with the trade back, you still get an elite level wide receiver. to complement with Justin Fields if you're going that direction. So yeah, I definitely agree with the idea of them taking a wide receiver. I would have thought that they probably are going to just stay and do it at 9 because there's so many good wide receivers in this draft. But I guess we'll get there next time when they go through 6 through 10. But yeah, definitely makes sense. Yeah, so for number 3, I still have New England sitting there, and yeah, you take Drake May. He's there. You don't let him fall. I mean, if they really, really want to trade out and go for Baker or something, I think that that's fine. If you want to do that, I wouldn't do that, but I'm also not an NFL GM, so I can just make these decisions and not have my job be on the line. But for me, I think that, you don't trade back, and if you're not sold, then you don't take him. But I guess Baker's the best option, but then you're paying him probably over $100 million, whereas you can get this guy on a rookie contract. If you're keeping Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe, I mean, sure, I guess we can watch them be, bottom again, but I don't think that's the Patriots' way. I don't think an aging owner wants to see his team be that bad. He probably wants to get one more in. So yeah, I'm taking Drake May. I think it just kind of makes sense even with the Patriots kind of build. So yeah, guess we're going on to number 4 here. So yeah,
Yes,
who do you have for
Arizona.
number 4 for Arizona?
Arizona at number 4. I think they're in a similar situation as Chicago, excuse me, in a sense that they have a couple of decent receivers at the moment, but I think that they can improve their passing game, especially with a full season of a healthy Kyler Murray. I don't think that his job is at risk as much as a lot of other people think so. Now, that doesn't mean that they couldn't, take a quarterback here, but I just don't think that is a need for them right now. So I think they're going to take a combine, a hero or star, whatever you want to call them from yesterday. Washington's Rome Odunze, I think, is going to go next off the board at number 4, because Marquise Brown's a free agent. Don't know if he's coming back. Rondale Moore is a kind of a smaller guy, so you want him kind of more on the inside. I think Odunze fits that offensive scheme really well. And if you bring Marquise Brown back, then you have 3 really talented young receivers.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and that actually pushed Rome up on my board as well, but not for this pick. I'm obviously that spoils what I'm going with for the pick after, but Marvin Harrison Jr. for me is still going number 4. I think that you take him, like you said, you have a full season of Kyler Murray. You know exactly what you have a quarterback, you're not going quarterback. I think this just makes sense here. If you don't absolutely love Rome Odunze, I think you're going Marvin Harrison, but that is something that you brought up offline before that you think is something that players kind of need to think about if they're not going to participate in the combine, because then you have a guy like Odunze coming in and getting his name out there and flying up boards. I feel like even though he was really high up, it was almost like a no-brainer to pick Marvin Harrison above him. But now I think it's a lot more of a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you had said about, players skipping out on the combine or skipping out on their pro days, what's going to happen now with Malik Nabers? I mean, he has been mocked to be the second receiver off the board, sometimes even the first receiver off the board, depending on who you're looking at. But now, Rome Odunze is definitely in that conversation to be the second or even first receiver off the board. I think he was definitely going to be a top 10 pick, but I think he could easily be a top 5 pick at this point.
Yeah, I mean that is one of the combine stories. I mean, you think people getting concerned about quarterbacks skipping, throwing, and I don't really buy all that. I think it's really just if you're really set on who you think you're going to, then let it kind of happen. But I am also the volition that if you're listening to advice and they're saying things that are not saying that you're going to be completely set in a spot, I would probably participate in something like that if there's going to be elite talent like that coming up and possibly taking your spot. So it's definitely something that, you know, I get the injuries, I get the idea of, you know, the draft stock going down if you don't perform as high, but you know, it works on both ends. So you better be really confident that you're going in the spot that you're going.
Absolutely. And so that I think that will segue us right into pick number five with the Chargers. For a while, I had this pick being an offensive player, but I'm going to throw a little curveball at myself here. And I think another guy who did well in the combine, but I also thought could have gone this high regardless, is edge rusher slash outside linebacker Dallas Turner from Alabama. I think it fits their defensive scheme really well. I think they need youth in that front seven. And I think, you know, adding the speed of Dallas Turner to that linebacker group, if he's a linebacker or on the edge with Joey Bosa, you know, kind of taking over for Khalil Mack, whether that be this season or next, depending on if they let go of Mack or if he, you know, retires at some point. But that's where I'm at right now at five. I think they could easily go offensive line or even, you know, Brock Bowers potentially. I think he's sliding a little bit, which whoever gets him, I think, is going to be very happy. But yeah, Dallas Turner is my pick at five.
Yeah, and completely, I think he's a guy that deserving at five for sure. I mean, when you test that high at the combine, especially as an edge rusher, you're seeing these guys that's almost, you know, you see a guy like Micah Parsons and you're like, oh yeah, that is a way that you probably should evaluate, because, you know, with edge rushers and number one thing is getting to the quarterback. And if you have the ability to be elusive and you get off the line that fast, then, you know, it's something that'll have you fly off. And in these recent years, when the game is going so much to the pass offense, you need guys that throw the ball, you need guys that catch it, guys that can get pressure to make the ball look worse, and then guys to defend the receivers. So, you know, if it goes in with the fact that the way the league is going. So, yeah, I definitely think that he could go that high. That's not who I have them taking. And I'm not usually a guy that likes a team that keeps taking skill positions, but I think Rome Odunze goes number five. I think it makes sense. I think Quentin Johnson, he has time to still develop, but if he develops into a number two, you have Odunze in 2025 be the number one, because Mike Williams and Keenan Allen both are off the books in 2025. We'll see where they go, if they stay or not. But I mean, you already have your number one and number two receivers. If you make this pick, I wanted to pick Joe Alt here for a while, but then the combine really made me think Dunze is, you know, he's just that guy. And he's one of those guys that even if you might not have completely hit on the last one immediately, I think that, you know, he's a guy that you don't pass up and can obviously help your offense when you're not dying for a tackle. They're not really dying for anything. They're really trying to get themselves over the hump. And with a new coach coming in, I think this is something that can add a spark. They're a high-powered offense, and I think they're just going to keep getting more and more high-powered there. So, yeah, definitely like how completely different the top five is, but, you know, that's
right.
That's
I mean,
the
it's
fun part of
it's
the
funny because
discussion.
We were both on the same page at number one in terms of player. And we had pretty much the same players in one through five, just not in the same order, which I find interesting. So at least we're both on the same page of who we think will go top five, which I think is a good thing for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think a question that I have that I think is coming up is, you know, is there any concerns with Caleb Williams and the supposed demands or anything that's popping up? I personally don't think there's that big of a deal. I mean, I think this is something that, you know, you hear him talk and it doesn't seem like that comes off in any way of that. I think you still pick him number one. You, I think getting scared off has way higher of a risk than taking him. So I don't, I think that, yeah, there is a lot of personalities and there's a lot more with this draft in particular, like, oh, who's performing at the combine, who's not, who's skipping this, who's not. I mean, that's really, you got to really look at the game footage and make an idea off of that. I mean, I think Ja'Marr Chase is also a really good example of that. It's like, oh, well, you know what he did that one year, so kind of got to study that.
And I want to agree with you almost 90% of the way there. I feel like there's a lot in terms of on the field things that you see from a quarterback that you really want, and that's someone who can read the defense and make the right reads. And I think that Caleb Williams did a great job of that the past couple seasons. I think there were some games here and there down the stretch this season that I think he kind of struggled with, wasn't producing at a higher level that we saw him produce at earlier in the season, and of course last season. And I just feel like that shouldn't really matter too much. I think he's still, super talented. I think he's the best quarterback prospect of this draft class. And I think, with the whole demeanor off the field and interviews and things like that, I think it's all leverage. I really don't think that, he doesn't want to play for Chicago or he doesn't want to play for this team. I think he does just want to be the first pick and whatever happens, happens. And I think that whoever has the first pick, whether it's Chicago or they trade it to someone else, you need to take Caleb Williams. I mean, he's going to turn your franchise around.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, it's kind of getting to the point. If you're looking at nitty gritty objects like that, I think we're starting to see that, like, the talent's there. You got to take the idea of picking it and,
Exactly.
worrying about it when it gets there. You would hope that the player and the maturity level is there. These players more and more. It's just so much more of a business in college football, which I'm sure we'll get to at a later date at some point. But these guys are more prepared for these careers than anyone that I think we've ever seen. I mean, when you're already signing money when you're an 18-year-old and you probably have an agent and someone to look at, this is one of those things that is just going to get more and more. I think these guys are going to be more and more NFL ready, and you're going to see things much like we've seen in the NBA, where it's like you really need to look at game footage and you almost need to do your job as a scout, honestly. And you're not going to have as much one-on-one comparison as you would in the past to get these guys out there and practicing against each other. You kind of need to, get an idea and make your own thoughts without having a completely 100% picture, which is really tough. But then that's what makes guys that do participate in everything that is offered to them more valuable to some scouts, which makes sense.
And I think too, with Caleb Williams specifically, I didn't really feel this way about Joe Burrow when he came out until it got closer to the draft and I was kind of seeing the maturity level from him. He took a team, a Cincinnati Bengals team that hadn't made the playoffs in the past couple seasons, were the pits of the NFL, took them to the Super Bowl in his second season. And I feel like, if Caleb Williams ends up in Chicago, that they keep the first pick, they could easily be contenders with, so the 49ers and the Lions in their own division and the Rams, the Eagles. I think he really brings that difference to a franchise. And, like you said, with how college football is becoming more of a professional sport more than it is a collegiate sport. I feel like a lot of these players already kind of have that sense of how they need to perform both on the field, off the field, and even just as young adults. I think they have a more maturity level than we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation for another day, just seeing how different it's been and even just how the leagues and presentation of every business has been, with particularly the NFL becoming almost something that's transcending sports in some cases. But you know, that's definitely something to tackle at a later date. But
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
next week we'll go through 6 through 10. We definitely still have a lot of time, and you know, it's gonna get there quick, but I think with the 6 through 10 and such, with guys that you'll see their testing and more news come out, it'll make sense as we go long more
Yeah,
anyway.
and then it'll be real interesting, you know, once we get to the week of the draft, we can look back and see, you know, how the offseason has progressed, how these players have done, and if, you know, our rankings would still be accurate once that time comes in about a month or so.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. And how we think our offseason might look. There hasn't been a whole lot of news on our front other than the big question that's been kind of looming over us since the end of the season. Is Jason Kelce retiring? It may not be a big deal to a lot of outsiders, but for an Eagles fan, it is a big question because he's been with us his whole career, has been such a staple, not just on the field, but off the field as well. And like, how do you replace that if he does? We're also thinking about other players that might retire, like Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, big guys that have been around for a while. And then the most recent news, I would say, is Kevin Byard, the safety that we traded for midseason, has been released, and we have $13 million more in cap space, which I am ecstatic about because that means that we can sign some more players if we need to. But yeah, we're just going to hit on a couple points about what we think the Eagles should do this offseason and how that can propel us forward and hopefully improve moving into 2024.
Yeah, I think that's a really good summary. Exactly. Some of my notes I have down here. I guess starting with, we'll obviously get to the Kelce because I think that that has to do with the roster on a complete level. But I think just like an idea, maybe starting, I know we have a lot to cover from, you know, playoffs to now, but maybe just a kind of abbreviated version of the ideas of how it's gone so far, and you know, are these the right moves? Keeping Sirianni going with different coordinators, and you know, how they are shaping up to start the next year. And I guess I'll start off with that because topic was brought up. I think that this is the right way to go, really, honestly. I think Sirianni's been a winner for his past couple of years. He took the team to a Super Bowl. I mean, obviously he had help with coordinators, but it has shown that it is possible. I'm not sure at all what happened with this year of the two hires. Maybe it was just an idea of getting new guys that no one's seen before coming in and seeing what they can do. But I mean, week one of the season, we were texting each other saying, what is going on with this play calling? It's bizarre. It doesn't fit what they did to get them where they wanted to go the entire last year. Obviously that's going to be gone, but I think that even though Brian Johnson's gone, you still got to worry a little bit about the offense entirely with someone else coming in. But I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Like the new coordinators and the coach currently?
Yeah, it's a loaded question for sure because, you know, as the decline of the season was going, you really thought there's no way that they're going to fire Sirianni, right? Like, there's no shot. And ultimately, that's what happened. They didn't fire him. And I think that's the right choice as well. He hasn't had a losing season as a head coach. I think, you know, similarly to Andy Reid's situation, you know, when he was our coach, he had so many years of success in him. Once he had that little downfall, it was like, okay, is this a thing? And then he went 4-12, and it was like, yep, he's got to go. Obviously, you see where he is now. But with Sirianni, I just feel like it's too early to tell if it's really, it's never really on one person. But the point I'm trying to make, I guess, is it really him? That's the issue. And I don't think it was, and I don't think it's going to be, especially with the new hires. I think it was the right decision to keep Sirianni and to let go of Sean Desai and Brian Johnson. I think seeing them get hired elsewhere is an indication as well that it might not have also been all on them. It might have been the coaches that they had underneath them. It could have been the execution from the players. There's a lot of factors in it, but I think they did the right thing in getting experienced coaches back in here who have various different backgrounds. Kellen Moore played in the NFL as a quarterback, was a quarterback's coach, went to Dallas and really made that offense what it is now. Coached up Justin Herbert last season before his injury. And I think it makes sense for him to come to Philadelphia to work with Jalen Hurts and this offense. I think there's a lot of similarities in how those offenses, all three of them, operate. And defensively, Vic Fangio is one of the best that has ever done it as a coordinator. And I think holding players accountable isn't necessarily his job, but he does a very good job at making players aware of the mistakes they're making, fixing them on the fly. I think they're great hires. I think it's going to improve our development of young players as well, to have that experience. Because when you have young, inexperienced players and young, inexperienced play callers, it doesn't really mix well. And I think that was possibly an issue that we had last season, especially on the defense.
Yeah, I think, this is the way to go. You need to see a lot of things, and just kind of see what you have, which of course, I don't know if you know this, but Philadelphia fans don't really like taking a year to see what you have. And
We don't have patience.
yeah, there's no patience there. So I'm more of the idea that like, you gotta have a direction, and if it takes a little bit to figure out the direction, like they need to be contending. Obviously, this is still their contending window. Jalen Hurts still doesn't have that big of a cap hit on them that they can still build around him. But with that said, now going to Jalen Hurts, I'm a much big believer that we don't need to sit here for an hour and a half and make the entire show something about the quarterback. I think it's an entire team sport, but you need to have some idea of the most important position in sports. And I think having an experienced coordinator, just as you said, clearly he has success somehow. If he gets to a shootout and is very close to Mahomes in the Super Bowl, there is success there. So I don't think that he takes a giant step back if it's not for interesting play calling calls and getting someone in there that has an idea of how they want to use Jalen and the offense correctly. You need to see that done again, and I think that would make a lot of people's feelings at ease because he still is so young. So if they put a lot of pieces together this year and make a good run and get to at least the NFC Championship again, I think that would make a ton of people feel a lot better. I think that's what I would hope. Ceiling, of course, is if they put it all together and everything works perfectly, you do get to the Super Bowl. I mean, it isn't that far along ago that they were there, but I don't know exactly what you go and you see them do and you're like, yeah, this is not working. Like, you obviously are not going to trade Jalen and freak out completely, but maybe what is Sirianni's leash this year, and what is it that you would see this year that would be like, all right, yeah, like this guy needs to go.
Yeah, before I get into that, I do want to touch just briefly on Jalen. And this is mainly a PSA to any Eagles fans out there. I know that the media right now in Philly has been brutal. But I think this might reassure you some, and I know this is, again, I'm not as prestigious as any of them by any stretch of the imagination, but Lamar Jackson won an MVP in his second season in the NFL. Then he had three-ish mediocre seasons, I'd say. And then you're wondering, is he getting a contract? Is he going to be let go? Nobody wanted to trade for this guy. And then he goes and wins an MVP 5 seasons later. You can't have year in, year out, extremely high quarterback play in the NFL. It's a year-to-year league. It's just, that's how it is. Joe Burrow, he got hurt this season. He was great the year before, got to the Super Bowl the year before that, injured the year before that. Patrick Mahomes had an awful season this year comparatively to a lot of his others, still got to the Super Bowl and won it. So the idea that Jalen Hurts is done for, that he's not good enough, is all a bunch of crap, in my opinion. I think he wasn't being utilized the correct way. As we saw, there were a lot of changes at the line of scrimmage because he didn't like the play calling that was given to him, which then in turn looked like the play call was bad, or vice versa. I think, he struggled with turning the ball over because the play calls weren't necessarily working the way that they should have. A lot of the first options were get the ball to AJ Brown. Didn't work out, didn't really know what to do. So I think when you have a better sense of how to coach the player that fits your system, it'll work out better. So, do I expect Jalen Hurts to play better next season? Yes. Do I think that it's going to happen? That remains to be seen because he needs to take that step and needs to be on the same page with the coaches. So, moving on to what you were saying about Sirianni, I think for me, what the leash is for him is if these hires he made on his staff don't perform the way that the expectations are, and we, are looking at the season, maybe around week 10, week 11, and we're, at 500 or a couple games above 500, it's still, not clear as to are we going to win the division? Are we going to make the playoffs? I think that's when you start to think about, is this the right coach for your football team? And that's why I think that they brought in guys like Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio, that in the event that it doesn't work out the way that they are hoping and Sirianni leaves, they at least have some guys in the building that they can bring in for interviews and things like that. Which, again, I don't think is the reason why they were hired. I just do think that they were the best available options at the time of their hiring. And I'm very happy with who we have. I think it's going to, there's no question about if this team is talented or not. There's a ton of talent on this team. They just need to be coached the right way. And I think they need to believe in themselves a little bit more and kind of block that outside noise. So if we win the division, I think there's no question that Sirianni stays. If we win as a wild card team and make it in as a wild card team, there could be some questions there. But if we really see a step back and we start off the season weak, kind of how we ended the season, I could see it being his last season, but I don't think that's the smart move. I think keeping him at least for the next year, seeing how it plays out, would be the best thing for this team. And I think he is the right fit for that CEO type coach, if that makes sense, because I do think that he is a good leader. I know a lot of people in the media disagree with that, but I think that he really does take pride in being a voice for his players and letting the other coaches around him coach, I think is really a good skill to have as a head coach, and not trying to overstep anyone or anything or have them overstep you. I think there's a good, respect level from the coaches, but they have to coach better. Like, that's just the bottom line. And I think that that's going to happen with the new guys in place.
Sirianni, I think something that I would see that would make me completely concerned and out on it is not if they start off slow, but if they end slow again, really. if they start out slow and still make a run, and it turns out to, they make a push on some sort of run in the playoffs, even if it is just one playoff win, but they get their heads back in it and come back. I think that that's something that, okay, this is something different than last year. If it's just a complete repeat of this year, that's when I get concerned. I mean, concerned, not freaking out, but concerned.
Right.
This is, you still have a pretty young team that needs to learn a lot. So yeah, I agree with that. It's not, sky is not falling down in Philadelphia, I believe. I think the talent will get there, and if the talent just remains consistent and keeps the heads in it, which is what the coach's job is, then I think this team still has a lot of positives. Now, looking to the future there, what are you thinking about? Not exactly draft picks yet, but just maybe like some sort of draft focus. What do you want to see this year from them?
Yeah, I think you said it pretty well. A draft focus, I think, is definitely more of what we need than draft needs. And I know that there's probably some of you are probably thinking, what do I mean by that? We've had a history of just taking the best available at a position of need, opposed to maybe a best fit at the position of need. And I think I would like to see Howie Roseman, our general manager, focus in a little bit more on the positions that we need, what players are going to be available at where you want them that can not only play well right away, but develop under maybe a veteran leadership. And so I'm looking at, specifically the linebackers. We really don't have a lot of, tenured Eagles. We have a lot of young guys and a lot of first year guys like Zach Cunningham, who I think didn't really play as well as he could have in certain moments, but definitely was the best linebacker that we had last season. And I think, looking at what linebackers are going to be available, say early second round, we have 2 second-round picks. I think one of those two needs to be a linebacker, in my opinion. I think there's too many decent second round grade guys at that position that we need to bring in, like a Jeremiah Trotter Jr., which I personally think is a dream that all Eagles fans have that won't happen. I think he'd be a great fit. Obviously his dad played for the Eagles, was a great leader on our team. But I don't think Howie will do it. Just kind of like how a lot of us wanted Asante Samuel Jr. when he was going through the draft. It didn't happen. I just had this feeling that it won't happen. But I'm not going to get too specific into what players I think, but definitely a linebacker in the draft I would like in the second round. But when you're looking at that first round pick, 22nd, I believe they have, I feel like that is a good spot to get the best available player, whether it be of a position of need or just in general. Because ultimately, I think this team just needs a lot of young talent, specifically on that defensive side of the ball. So a cornerback, if they're available, would be nice. A safety, if they're available, would be nice. But I really do think the focus needs to be on best available at a position that you don't typically go after. So I would like to see, offensive linemen, defensive linemen is kind of our bread and butter when it comes to best available. And I think we have enough of those guys in place right now that you can kind of lean off of that and maybe go corner, linebacker, safety, even a receiver, running back could be an option. But that's what I would like to see the Eagles do with their draft focus.
Yeah, I agree very much so. I just have please defense, defense, defense on my notes,
Yeah.
especially secondary, because if you put you need guys in the secondary. I really don't want to watch next season a tight end of any skill level go for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns anymore. It's just it's a hole in the middle of the field, it seems like. It's definitely concerning. I think linebackers have historically for the Eagles been undervalued, and now you're finally kind of seeing that be more and more of a problem. And exactly what you said, corners, safety, and linebacker, I would like to see, if not first round, some day two picks and early day threes on there. I think you can really load up and have at least build depth in those positions and get some new guys in here that can have some potential on that. I think that an idea that has been thrown around again by media is, oh, well, do you have to take an O lineman because Kelce might retire? I don't think that there's any volition to that. I think the many picks that we've put into offensive line, if someone cannot fill an idea of his hole, then that's kind of an issue, and something that they would have to deal with. But just kind of scrambling just to fill that position immediately is not the way that I would go when I think we still have great talent at that position.
Yeah, and quickly, just on that, I feel like why would you draft Cam Jurgens for that reason? Like you don't have to scramble to try and find a center replacement when you drafted the center replacement a couple seasons ago. He kind of struggled this season at right guard. I think he would fit better at the position he knows better if you slide him over to center if Kelce retires, and then you go and get a right guard, whether that be in free agency or bring back Sua Opeta, who honestly, as a backup, played pretty well. I don't know if he'd be an answer as a starter, but I don't think it, like you're saying, like I don't think it's that big of a glaring need if Kelce retires. It's more of the culture and, the dependability that we would need to think about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the culture is number one. I mean, I'm pretty sure he said that he would still want to be part of the Eagles in some sort of idea. So maybe the culture isn't as big of a deal, but you're not replacing his culture with one draft pick. That's just not happening. You're not replacing his culture with one free agent signing. So that's going to be something that needs to be done over years. I mean, to be honest, I don't think, and we're still pretty young, definitely. So I don't think there's an Eagle that has been more in the public eye than Jason Kelce. So saying that you're going to be able to replace that with one pick or one player, I just don't think that that's going to happen. So it's going to be a hole no matter what if he retires. And that's going to be something that they're going to have to deal with. And it's not going to be done by freaking out and doing some decision that they're already prepared pretty much to fix.
Absolutely. Now, I do want to know, and I don't know if this is in your notes or not per se, but kind of we talked about the draft focus and like what positions we would like to see them take in the draft. What do you think would be beneficial to address in free agency? That could be players that you want us to bring back, or what positions would you, do you go out and sign a free agent at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of an idea of building in the draft and then putting together pieces. I know that this is supposed to be a win now team, but I don't know if there's a ton of like high free agents that like are going to fit immediately into this team like that. I don't know any off the top of my head. I mean, the number one in my mind right now, like in the free agent class, is Chris Jones. And obviously, that's not going to be something that the Eagles go after. So I would really, pick your defense, get another safety, get a corner, maybe two. Please get some linebackers. I would think linebacker is number one. Get a guy that can stop a run. Because the edge rushers, I think, are there. I think Sweat and whatever happens with Hassan Reddick, I believe he's probably staying. That's not that big of a need. The line, you don't really need to build a ton off depth for that. I think that would be lower free agent signings if you need depth there. But I think if you're going to do something, you need to get the linebackers and some safety help there. Corners would help. Definitely as well, but I'm looking at linebackers and safeties.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of good veteran, young veteran linebackers in free agency that I think at least one would benefit us, in tandem with a draft pick. I think a guy that I really like that I think might be a stretch. I think it's possible financially. I just don't know if he's going to leave where he's at, but Patrick Queen is due to be a free agent, and I think he would fit in really well both with the style of defense that Vic Fangio wants to do. I think he's a great run-stopping linebacker. And I think, it's going to be hard to pull him away from Baltimore, I think, just because they are also in their championship window, I would say. He's already in a good situation. It's not like he's playing for the Cardinals and has to go sign with a contender. He's already on a contender. But, if he does decide to leave, I think you try to go after him. Safety does scare me a little bit just because we, have two young safeties that are talented, but one of which, Sidney Brown, won't be back until mid-season due to the ACL injury. So you're really going to have to look to add some depth and a starter at safety, whether that's, depth through the draft and then starter in free agency or other way around. But I'm kind of with you on that, with linebackers and safety being the main priority in free agency if there's going to be guys to be had.
Yeah, just looking at the free agent lists, Patrick Queen for me also would be number one for me. I mean, if you can get one of the veteran guys away, I don't think you will be able to. I wouldn't hate getting. I know they're old. I know Lavonte David is not coming away from Tampa Bay. But yeah, on here, if you can get Devin White, that'd be awesome, but I don't know if that's gonna
Yeah,
happen.
that's another one. I that's another one that I'm thinking about too. It's like if not Queen, then White or vice versa, but maybe both of them stay. Or, White also kind of makes me think that, he might go to say like a Rams team or like a Seahawk team that like already has an established like successful defensive scheme, or just stay put where he's at. But, either one of them would be great for us.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the safeties here now, and
There's not a whole lot.
there's names on here, but I'm thinking draft first and then fill later. I know Howie loves
Yeah.
his
Yeah, he loves doing
veteran
that.
trades as well, so we'll see what happens there. But
So if you could have one current Eagle that's due to be a free agent return, besides, the obvious like Kelsey Graham, Fletcher Cox, who would it be for you?
I'm not having a ton off the top of my head, really. I like a lot of the guys that are already set with the Eagles. So, like I said, I really like the idea of, going with the draft first philosophy and then filling in later. I don't have anybody that's going off the team that I'm like, oh, you really 100% need to get him, and this is the number one thing to do this year.
Not DeAndre Swift.
I mean,
It's okay if you don't. I'm just,
running backs to me are, if you're a contender, yes, you should probably get that. But if he'll take a team-friendly deal, yes, but I
Yeah,
mean, he
I
was underused too. Like, that's the
absolutely.
problem. So,
I
like,
feel like he's out the door, unfortunately. I mean, like, because he's a Philly guy and because, he was a Pro Bowler with us this season, of course I want him back, but we've seen how Howie, operates bringing free agents in, bringing free agents back. They did the same thing with Miles Sanders. I just don't think he's going to come back. I'm sure he wants to be here, but I personally will not be shocked if DeAndre Swift does not come back.
yeah, looking at this team here, I mean, I like Jack Stoll. He's cool.
Yeah. A
I
lot of people
like
probably like, who? Backup
Yeah.
tight end. Yeah, I like him a lot.
I like Quez Watkins. I think he's got something as well.
Now, the guy for me, and this is like probably so dumb for a lot of people, but I really want them to bring Breda Mann back. He was
I
probably
was going
our
to
best
say him as
punter.
well,
He's probably
honestly.
been our best punter that I can remember in a very long time. He's just consistent. He doesn't really flub a lot of punts. He's also a great holder for Jake Elliott. I think, I don't think Elliott really had any issues with the holds this season. I mean, anything's better than Aaron Sipos, but I do think that bringing Breda Mann back would be a very smart choice.
Yeah, I thought he was good. That was actually my,
It's kind of
you know,
shocked that he was a free agent for as long as he was.
is it bad that that might be on this list, one of my higher ones that I'm like, yeah, you know what? He should come back out of all of
I
these.
don't think so. I don't think, I mean, he played well. It's a weird position to think, like, how do you play well? How do you not play well? But I think he was definitely one of the top punters that we've
Yeah.
had in a very long time.
And like you said, Suo Opetta, definitely. I would, if they can get it done, I
Yeah,
would think
agreed.
that's a good one as well. For solid depth in that position. I mean, you see guys go down on the offensive line across the league, and it's a different team. Offensive line always the unsung heroes of the sport. And yeah, if he's still good to fit in his position on the team, then definitely bring him back. But yeah,
Yeah.
I think yeah, we covered. Yeah, I'm happy with that summary of the Eagles and what I felt for the last few weeks. So I'm glad that we can
Yeah.
start from this point forward, but
Yeah, I agree. I
definitely.
mean, I feel like there's still some question marks with a lot of different things with this team, and it's mainly because of what the media has been putting out there, which is unfortunate because I do think that this team is still in a championship window. I think they're going to be just fine. But it's hard to see that way, especially as a fan when you're hearing all of these different reports and things about the culture in the locker room and all that stuff about last season. And let's put that to bed. Let's move forward. Let's think about what we have now. And we'll see, in the next coming weeks or so, once free agency starts, if we're active, if, we're making any trades, if Hassan Reddick gets traded or not. I personally don't think he will, but you never know. But yeah, I think we're in a good place with, how we can move forward with the offseason with the Eagles.
Yeah, I think based on this discussion, I think we both agree the sky is still in the air in Philadelphia.
I
I'm
agree.
looking outside right now, and it is still there. So
Yep.
yeah, I still have some cautious optimism for sure, but we'll see how this off season plays out. I mean, like
We're
I said.
definitely in the minority in that aspect. I think there's so many people, fans that, think that we're going to be the pits of the NFC East next season, which of course is possible because, like I said earlier, it's a year-to-year league. You never know what's going to happen in the NFL, but I really do believe that we're going to be just fine.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, this was a great, fun discussion. Glad to talk through this. Of course, this is always a fun season to start with. I think we're starting at a good time right before draft because to me, I think this is truly, you know, the season just started, obviously,
Right.
technically for contracts as well. So yeah, this is a good time to get started in, and always, I'm sure by next week there'll be something else crazy to talk about. So
Yeah, seems like there always is in the NFL.
yeah.
So, yeah, thank you all for listening in on our little discussion here, and we hope that you return for future episodes. But until then, have a great rest of your day, depending on what time you're listening to it. Hope you have a great day tomorrow and a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Yep, see ya.